any good leader will get people to go to God, not to go to them. Yes, there's connections, but we get people to depend upon God, not the leader. And a good leader will speak good words to the people that they're encouraging. We don't speak bad words or negative words or run people down. So we speak these heavenly words from the Heavenly Father, which is the sound doctrine. The words inspired from God. This builds the expectation. This builds the faith. This helps us get focused in with right understanding and the wisdom of God. When we use God's wisdom, then we start to see results. When we apply things with spiritual understanding, see, you've got carnal understanding, you've got spiritual understanding, and you've got spiritual giving and carnal giving. And can you remember when I was sharing on this, that seed time and harvest, I said it's a universal law? What I should have better said. It's true what I said, but the better way to communicate that, you've got natural giving and you've got spiritual giving. And it works for saint and sinner alike. So there's many believers, I was one of them at one time, that would carnally give. I knew that God wanted us to give, so I would give, but I didn't understand the real heart of why and what it done. I had a little bit of an understanding, but since I've been practicing from my heart, now I understand. I'm like, wow, I would not do this. So now I'm giving with the spiritual mind, the spiritual heart, spiritual understanding and wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, not the doctrine of it. Because you got the doctrine, which is great, and it's profitable. Okay, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So it's profitable, it's beneficial, it's our base. Where did those words come from? They came from the Heavenly Father through the mouth of Paul. Where did all the spiritual revelation that's written in the scripture come from in the church epistles? From the ones that read Paul, dominantly. So we see when we apply the spiritual understanding with heart, and with the Spirit of God working in us, then we start to reap the spiritual things into the physical. So there's many believers that can give carnally, thinking they're doing it spiritually, right? Some expect something back, some doesn't expect nothing back. But the point is, God's giving it for your prosperity. But it's not just about your money. It's about all grace abounding towards you. It's about God calling you to abound to every good work. God protects your field. And he takes care of many other things. It's an act of worship, like when Abraham, before the law, he gave tenth of the spoils of war to Melchizedek. Jesus Christ is after the order of Melchizedek. All this giving is connected to the movement and outreach of the word, because it's about the heart. It's about the heart. It's all about the heart. God's looking at our heart and why we give, what we're doing, and do we understand? So when we give with understanding, we can do it with joy. You can cheerfully give then. You can cheer, you know, really cheerfully give, because you know what you're doing. Like a farmer knows what he's doing when he sows his seed, else he won't be sowing them, right? Or he might, if he didn't understand, he might have seeds, sow it and think, what's that going to do? So again, it's spiritual mind or the carnal mind. And we're not to be conformed to this world, but we to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So because we've encouraged here people to go to God, you ask God. When Becky done that, then when she did give what God put in her heart, she done it cheerfully. And she also done it with understanding. And she's also reaping benefits right now. So these things are just so important. We don't stick to the tithe. The tithe was under the law. Okay, it's a good place to start. Okay, then build your faith. But when you go directly to the source, who is God, he can show you what to give. And when we do it, respond with him what to give, then you can do it so cheerfully because you know in your heart, yeah, this is what I'm going to give. This is what I've determined with God. And then you can expect. And so God is raising people up that are going to him. He's raising the level of expectation and faith with joy. Because we've been called to the happy life, not the sad life, not the miserable life, not the downtrodden life. But God wants us to have fullness of life. So when Jesus said, oh, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, he said might in that. And the scriptures, or the things that were spoken and written down and recorded, which we call the Holy Scriptures, is for the believers, not for the unbelievers. And he's referring to the believers that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. It's dependent upon how we receive and what we do. And if we're going to apply ourselves and go to God for his wisdom and take these truths to our heart and live unto him, that we keep God first, that we're seeking him with all of our hearts first. So this word abundantly, if anyone's done looked at the Greek word, means to be superior in quality and quantity. God wants us to have an abundant life. And this word life we know is the Greek word zoe, which means fullness of life in every category, in every area. So this is the life that Jesus Christ came to make available when we confess him as our Lord and we believe in our heart God raised him from the dead. Our words, we believe in our heart, we said with our mouth. When we confessed, we received the spiritual gift of Holy Spirit, and we became born again, child of God, redeemed from the curse of the law, free from condemnation, and we live under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We now got a spiritual mind that we can move in and live in and have our being. We got Christ in us, the hope of glory, the life that we now live. We live by the faith of the Son of God. We don't live it by the world's ways. We don't live it by what we've learned when we were in the carnal mind and under sin. So now we've got a new way of living. And this new way of living is a happy life, a joyous life, a successful life, a prosperous life, a healthy life. Because Jesus Christ, he paid it all. He paid it all. We need to refuse to worry. We need to refuse not to accept what we've been diagnosed with, whether that's the diagnosis of the bank, of your finances, or the diagnosis of your health. But we take by force what is ours. I refuse to accept this. I am healed by his stripes. And we give it a voice. We say what God says. And the more we say what God says, it becomes. Like I was saying, a good leader will get people to go to God. A good leader will get people to encourage them to say what God says. Not to say the bad words. A bad leader will say bad words, negative things, to get you to stay with them. But every child of God is free to live and move and have their being. And then God is directing each child of God by the Spirit where they should go for their encouragement, where they should go for their food. On a daily basis, we decide where we're going to eat. We can either eat at home, cook our own food, or we can go to McDonald's, KFC. We can go to a restaurant. We can go to a fish and chip shop. We can go to Italian, we can go to Mexican, whatever you choose, you know, you can choose where you're going to eat your physical food, but God will direct you where to get your spiritual food, where it's going to be the best food. And he'll take you to the best spiritual diner, right? So that you can receive words catered specifically for your palate, your taste, your spiritual taste, your mind. And God will appeal to your heart where he's got you placed, to give you the words that you need to rise up in your faith. So God is working with our faith. It's, Rome wasn't built in a day, and nor are we. We've got everything there, but it's because we've been taught so many different things in the world, we have to be transformed by receiving what God says. So it's step by step. So God worked with Moses' faith. God knew when Moses was ready. It's when he put that burning bush, and it didn't consume with fire. The bush caught on fire, but it wasn't consuming the bush. And what does it say? Moses turned aside to see. God knew. He was like, what's going on here? God got his attention. So has God got your attention? You know, do you want these things that you're hearing, these wonderful testimonies from people that received the words that we've been encouraging from God gladly, and then they've applied? And then as they've done, then the understanding to them comes. They realize, oh, this is the way. This is what I need to do. Oh, now I understand. And that is called the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So we can do things our way. We can either direct people to go to the scripture or we can direct people to go to God, who will lead you to the scripture if he wants you to go there. And when we do it God's way, then we will be in the right place. We'll be on fire in our heart, no matter the temperature, spiritual temperature, emotional temperature, physical temperature in the world, we'll be ready. Because we know we're not moved by our feelings, our emotions, our situations, our circumstances, but we're moved by faith. We want to see the impossible. You've got to see it in the invisible. In other words, the just shall live by faith, not by sight. You see it in here. God will give you his desire, and he'll give you the vision and the desire of the things that he wants you to have. And how we receive that is by our actions, doing what God shows us to do daily, and our confession. I just love this Romans 12:2. It's very powerful. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A lot of people think that they got to look at all their weaknesses and then work it to renew it and line it up with the scriptures. That's carnal thinking. That's the carnal way. So how do you renew your mind then? The way that you do it is just, it's no effort from you. You just receive the information God's given you, take it to your heart, and then do it. As you focus on doing what God said, your mind's being renewed. Those old habit patterns fall off. Anxiety. I used to have anxiety. And when I was young, 16 years old, I had anxiety to the point I would be there and I think, oh my God, I can't breathe. And I had the doctor come out to me 6 or 7 times. He said, Lawrence, he said, you're a fit young man. He said, you're healthy, your lungs are fine, your chest is fine. I think you've got anxiety. And it was anxiety. So I was beginning my journey with God. So I didn't know how to protect my mind and to bring my thoughts subject to the obedience of Christ. So when we get anxiety come on, we can either accept it or refuse it. I refuse this. I let the peace of God rule in my heart, to the which I've been called into one body. And I'm thankful that the peace of God is the umpire in my life. And so we let God's peace rule in our heart. Father, I know this is not from you. I rebuke you, spirit of anxiety. I rebuke you, spirit of depression. I rebuke you, spirit of insanity. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. When we got fear, you haven't got a sound mind. And if you think back to a time where you was afraid, you couldn't get your thoughts together. That's because the fear distracted your mind, right? And you can't make a proper, sound-minded decision. That's why people say, never make a major decision when you're under pressure or when there's something going on in your life. 1 John chapter 4, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, for fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Really means is that our minds need to come to God. We're to put the thoughts of God on and let his peace rule in us. Because when there's fear, it's torment. It's torment in your life, right? And God says, no more torment. You are free from this moment. From the second I'm saying it, you are free. The love of God in our hearts, when we receive these words and God is energizing it in you, it's not a manufactured love. So we ask God, Father, you energize your love in me. You energize your faith in me. You energize. And it comes through his heavenly words, you know. And we're so thankful for his good. He says, Psalms, it says, I sought the Lord. It didn't say I sought the law of Moses. It says, I sought the Lord. And he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. What great records. So we go to God, Father, I know that you haven't given me fear. I know that you haven't given me anxiety. I know that you haven't given me worry. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So God says, now you set your affections on things above. Don't focus on your situations, but come to me and give your situations to me. And now simply trust me to take care of them. And when you think about your problem, say what I say. Say my words out of your mouth. I am free. I am sound in mind. Mind you, you are subject to the Spirit of God. When you give voice to what God is saying, then you're releasing the Spirit of God as well with those words. Because Jesus said, my words, their spirit and their life. This word of God, which Really, that phrase is the words from God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the divider and asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and heart. When we speak God's word, it cuts right to the chase. It cuts right to the price. It cuts it out your way. So every day we wake up. Sometimes these anxieties and these thoughts try and come on me. And I say, I refuse you in the name of Jesus Christ. You've got no jurisdiction. You've got no access to me. You've got no right. I am a son of God. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I am free in Christ. God has given me the Spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. My mind is sound and it thinks clearly. And I trust in my God. And I'm not anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Father, I let made known my request unto you. Now, Father, you take this away. And I'm focusing on you. No matter what goes on, I'm going to do what you put in my heart to do. So all these things are a distraction to get you not to focus on God. And God wants you to focus on him. He wants you to be, you know, the spiritual blinkers on, like a horse. So it doesn't go off to the left and it doesn't go off to the right. But it's focused on God. And God says, you just keep coming this way. Reminds me of Jesus walking on the water. And then Peter says, is that you, Lord? Bid me to come on the water. So what happened? Jesus said, come. He didn't say, no, you're not spiritual enough. You haven't studied the Bible, Peter. You haven't understood the law. You can't come out of the boat. He says, come. And two men walked on the water. One was Jesus. The other one was Peter. And he kept his eyes on Jesus as he was walking. But as soon as he took his eyes off, when he looked at the wind and the waves and the raging storm, what happened? He began to sink. And then what happened? Lord, save me. And then Jesus took him, lifted him up. That's what we do in life at times. When we take our eyes off our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, we start to sink in life because we've taken our eyes and focus off God. But when we come back to God, what does he do? He delivers us. And it's like we've never been through it because he just totally takes care of everything. Your mind is subject to the Spirit of God. You allow your mind, what is God saying? Father, I come to you. You lead me. You guide me. I'm trusting in you with all my heart. I'm not leaning unto my own understanding. Father, in all my ways, I acknowledge you. I'm saying what you say. I believe what you say. Father, I'm doing what you say. I expect some results for me. I want to see some manifestation of your blessings in my life. I honor you with my substance, Father. Now I want to see some blessings. I ain't going to do it if I don't see it. But I know, and I believe you're going to do it. And if I'm not seeing it, then you've got to show me. And so, again, I had to go to God in all these different areas of my walk and my life. I used to be full of lots of fear, but God delivered me from all of them to the point that I can speak very boldly and say what's in my heart without even giving a concern about what anyone thinks about what I'm saying. And like I was saying to someone today, if I've said something wrong, and then I know I've said something wrong, I'll be the first one to come and tell you, hey, guys, remember I said this, this, and this. It wasn't quite right. But, okay, this is the right thing. And I've done this before many times. So God has not given me a spirit of fear in any area. I don't look at the faces. I don't let the faces trouble me. I don't let somebody's reputation trouble me because my trust is in the living God and he's delivered me. He's given me a great life. And yes, there was a journey on that to get to the place where I am. And so, but God can fast track you. And so what I would encourage each of you to do is you go to God. You say what God says. I have the happy life. I am provided for in every area. I am delivered because God sent his words and healed me and delivered me from all my destructions. I am blessed to be that blessing. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. The blessings of the Lord, they chase me down. They overtake me. My enemies come before me one way and they flee before me seven ways. My God blesses me in the basket, in the store, in the fruit of my body, in my bank, in my PayPal account, in my wallet. I am really blessed to be a blessing. And I'm a great steward of the things of God. He's made me a great steward. He's given me great wisdom to understand what he wants me to understand, and not the world or traditional understanding. But the correct understanding comes to me from the Spirit of God to my heart. And I believe these things with all my heart. My God is with me. My God will never leave me or forsake me, because I have a direct access to him. He's holding me by my hand. And I'm an imitator of God, and I walk in love, and I imitate what my Heavenly Father does. And because I do that, he's showing me his ways. He's given me his spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I know I'm righteous. I know I'm justified. I know I'm sanctified. I know I'm redeemed. I know I have the word and ministry of reconciliation. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I say this with conviction. These are my confessions, I say, as God energizes. Because this is the thing. There's therefore now no condemnation to Lawrence. I'm in Christ Jesus, and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made Lawrence free from the law of sin and death. Therefore, I'm wealthy in wisdom. I'm wealthy in health. I'm wealthy in finances. I'm wealthy in labors. I'm wealthy in success. You know, God said about Joseph when he was in slavery, he says, and Joseph was prosperous because God was with him. Well, God's with us. He's in us. So you're prosperous, guys. It's just getting your mind lined up with what God says. And then it's agreeing and then saying the same thing as God. We speak from the right hand of God now, not from the earth. We speak from the right hand of God with all authority. Marie said it. You know, we got authority. We refuse the negatives. We refuse defeat. God always calls us to triumph. And I shared in the leaders' meeting, we live from a place of triumph. We're to live triumphantly. And like Sangi shared, he said triumph isn't just 1-0 or 2-0 in a football game. It's like 30-0, 40-0, 50-0, a total whitewash. And it is, because Jesus Christ has obliterated the enemy. And it says that we're complete in Christ. We've been delivered from the authorities of darkness. Look, any of these things that are trying to come upon you has no rights, so don't let it take effect. And it says in Isaiah, no weapons that is made to come against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you shall absolutely condemn. For this is an inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness to me, saith the Lord. Well, listen, we're sons of God. We're sons of God. That's a promise, right? No whatsoever. That word weapons in the Hebrew means whatsoever. No whatsoever that is made to come against you. No anything is going to prosper over you. God will always make you come up victorious when you just stay with God, stay practicing, stay humble, stay applying these wonderful truths so that you can receive the full benefits that are yours if you do it, if you receive these words. So just stay with God, stay practicing every day, and thankfully God has given us not only a direct access to him, but he's given us the body of Christ also. And if he's directed you to connect someone, you connect, and he can inspire you to go to be ministered to, or to be encouraged, to be blessed. And so these are the ways we do it. So we're to be led by God. We're all free. And God shows you where to connect. So if he's showing you to connect, then use the connection. If he's giving you something to bless you, it's for your benefit. And gift ministers also are a gift to the body. It's a gift. So God's working in each of us. So we can all do this because we all have the ability of God in Christ in us. And I hope that's encouraged you and given you some information for yourself, for your walk, for when you're dealing with people. Because all we do is speak good words from God. We give the encouragement to God's people. We don't dictate to their life. We let them walk with God. So once we've given information, like we do the one-on-ones here, as you hear Becky and Danny and Amber and others share, I don't know what they're going to say to me. They come, oh, I want to understand about this, or they just begin to share, and then God just gives these words, and I'm like, even I'm blown away what comes out of the mouth. But the great thing is that they receive the words, and they go and do it. And now they're getting the results. They'll tell you, there was many times years ago, they would hear, but wouldn't go and do. Never got the results. But now they're like God's work in the grace. It's God doing all of this. It's not me. I'm nothing, right? But God is working in them. And because they've received the words gladly, when you receive anything gladly, you're going to use it, right? If you receive a present, you're going to use it. Oh, this is great. Look at this. I got a nice mobile phone. Oh, wow. What a great present. I'm going to, oh, I can call people up. I can play games. I can put Bible apps on it. I can do this, do that. When you receive something gladly, you're going to do it. You're going to practice it. Why are you going to practice it? Because you want the results of what it's going to give. And now these testimonies are the results of people receiving God's words gladly, his wisdom, his insight, and they practice it, and now they're getting the results. So God has never called us to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Here connect you in the body, where he wants you to be fed and encouraged. That's where you connect, and that's where you give. That's where you give of yourself. That's where you honor God also. And God will show you where to give and what to share. And so, like, we don't prepare because we're already ready. God has given us his Holy Spirit. We're ready to speak. So that's what I wanted to encourage anyway.